Good Monday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to KDUR 919-939 FM. I am McCarson Lee, just like John said, and I have Tom Garcia with me in the studio, and we're going to be talking about quite a few things this morning, and just good morning, Tom. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good morning, McCarson. My pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as I always have artists on air, and we know that in Durango, artists have so many different aspects of their lives, right? Like we are all artists to the core in some degree, right? But I mean, you are a multifaceted man, as a chiropractor, as a fire circle leader, a community advocate, and also you build these beautiful sculptures for others to have wherever they choose to place them. And I wanted to talk about that this morning and just educate the listening audience about who you are and how you came here and what you do. So how does that sound?
Sounds good. That's a tall order.
I think we can get it accomplished in 30 minutes for sure. Okay. So I know people who don't know you in the Durango community might be curious, you know, just how you came to Durango and when that was.
Okay, so my wife, Karen, and I, we moved here with two of our children at the time, three actually, to Durango about 18 years ago. And, you know, we came from Arizona, where I had a chiropractic practice, and started from scratch here. You know, it was a big risk, a big leap of faith, but it's been good. We've had a really great run. I've been in practice for over 25 years total, and lots of things happened over that time.
You obviously, as a chiropractor, I mean, you're a healer, and you're really in tune with how people function and who they are and what they bring to their person themselves. And mm-hmm. I mean, it takes, I would imagine, because I'm not, it would take quite amount of compassion and empathy, and also some intuitive pieces to you to be able to provide the healing services that you do.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So why did you decide to move to Durango to bring that to this community? What drew you here?
Well, on the face of it, you know, we'd been here for a vacation, camping. And I remember asking my wife, how could we ever live in a place like this? And that question opened the door. And, you know, the rest is history. You know, we stepped through that door and came. And like I said, pretty much started from scratch, you know, from zero. And but I think there's a deeper current alive for me, in that when we got here, I realized this place had always been in my consciousness somewhere, you know, with the land, with the tribe, you know, the Southern Ute tribe. And there's a certain native energy that called me here that I did not even know till something started to awaken in me that was completely unexpected. And that was over the last 10 years or so that that's occurred.
Let's talk about that, because,
okay.
You know, if something's calling you and you become aware, you know, what has that been like for you since your time to be in, you know, be in this community, and then as you're growing as the man and the person that you are?
Okay, so the seminal event for me was a really dear friend of mine came to live with us about 10 years ago. And he and I met through the Mankind Project. We sat in a men's circle together, and we just bonded. You know, we became like brothers. And he had a terminal illness. We took him in, really not knowing what we were in for. And he spent the last 18 months of his life with us. And for me, to witness someone's decline so intimately changed me. It was totally unexpected, and it literally drove me into the woods. You know, I started to go to the woods, and I'd make small fires and simply pray, you know, pray for guidance, pray for wisdom. I journaled a lot. I still do, and I still do all those things. And I was asking myself big questions like, why am I here? You know, why did you send me here was one of them. And what's my purpose? Like, what's my deepest purpose? And it wasn't so much, you know, why is he dying and I'm not? It's why am I here watching him as I'm watching him exit, you know, make his exit. And as I've said, you know, his name was Jim Wilson. And it's been almost 9 years to the day since he passed. And the way I describe how we came together is like this. I said, long ago, before we came, we decided we would find each other in this life. And at the appointed time, we would help each other. I would help him out, and he would help me in. So it's been an interesting journey inward. And then also carrying what I have found inside out into the world. And that's where my fire circles come from. That's where the prayer, you know, my prayer sculptures come from. And my work with individuals and small groups in what I call awakening and reclaiming the sacred.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been fortunate to be, you know, to be a part of you in a fire circle. And then also I'm fortunate to have one of your prayer sculptures too. But let's dive into the fire circle first off. What, you know, for people who are listening who think about a fire circle, they think possibly something different than what you do, or mm-hmm. they're just not educated on what that scene or that meaning or that situation is. Can you share a little bit about what you put into something like that?
So what's happened for me out in this process is I started building small fires, and I'd kneel and I'd create an altar out of things I'd found, you know, in the area, sacred things from home. And but it evolved. You know, I started making these massive stone fire pits and a place where I could literally work, you know, in a deep sense. You know, what does that mean to work? You know, I'd sit and listen. You know, it's a funny thing, as I've gotten older, my hearing's not so good, but my ability to listen has improved immeasurably. So I sit quietly. I listen to the stars. I listen to the fire. I listen to the silence. And things come to me. You know, I'm aware that I'm in a rich environment, a rich, intelligent environment, that there's a resonant intelligence where I'm sitting, and allow that to permeate the density of my being, you know, the density of my capacity to hear what's invisible and what's intangible. So that's evolved over time, you know. So as I describe, you know, building, you know, making these fire pits and listening quietly, I'd go out in the early morning before sunrise or at night after sunset. And during this time when Jim was in his transition, and especially after, and for several years after, I was going out and staying out all night. I just take my bag, take my things, and go out and just stay out all night by myself, sleep on the ground, be really close to the earth. And that was part of my process, part of my own awakening, if you will. And what I call the voice that speaks to me says is, this isn't just for you. This isn't just for you. You have to share it. And that's been the hardest thing, is to take something so deeply personal and intimate and begin to share it with others. And so one by one, I began to invite people to my fire. And certainly folks that have been to the fire, it's, you know, my work, as I call it, is creating sacred space, like creating the space inside of which people can come, sit, and be present to something deep and powerful within themselves. You know, and the fire helped provide that space. And it's a, you know, it's an elemental, so in itself has intelligence, as I call it. So I've had lots of folks to the fire over the course of the last 10 years. You know, yourself, others, small groups. You know, folks that have challenges with cancer, school faculties, mastermind groups, children. You know, see incredible things happen with kids. They totally get it. You know, when I talk about prayer or blessing, kids get it. It's the adults that seem to struggle with it. Like, what does that mean? You know, how do you do that? You know, so it's been really remarkable, really transformational for me, and I know for the folks that come.
It was for me. I truly enjoyed that experience with you and with Brad, and you know, I just think about larger groups going out there and how, you know, power in numbers, right? So mm-hmm. being able just to be quiet and listen and also experience that with a larger group of people, I'm sure it's pretty moving. You can probably just feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, so how do you, you know, you talked about preparing, that sacred space? I mean, because you put a lot into the fire building in the space and the offering as you do into your sculptures, and we'll go into the sculptures in a little bit, but how do you prepare? Like, what do you consciously think about, and what are you guided to do to prepare for a fire for one person or a group of people?
Well, I think it's probably worth saying that I wasn't trained, and I didn't seek training, and I actually actively resisted any outside influence. I wasn't willing to read how to do something. I didn't want anyone to show me, like, this is how you do it, you know. I wanted to discover it for myself. I wanted to find out what was inside of me, that wisdom, what it would guide me to. And so certainly one of the things that's been part of my process is finding the words, finding the language. And that's what I'm actively, you know, told to actively do, is find the language for your prayer. Find the language for what it means to create sacred space for yourself and for other people. And that's what I invite others to do also. You know, for example, if it's, you know, if there's an opportunity to offer a prayer, it's like, pray out loud. Let's hear your voice. You want to hear your voice, you know, like that. So there's some basic things I do. You know, one thing I start with is what I call setting the circle. And I use cornmeal, salt, and tobacco and to set a boundary, to create a line of demarcation between what's inside and what's outside. And I say words that we all recognize, but words that I literally feel like I'm calling back for their power and their what they mean. You know, words like peace and understanding, love, joy, wisdom, guidance, clarity, ease, grace, strength and light, wonder and curiosity, beauty and power. And I go around the circle and I say those words and I put down the cornmeal and the salt and the tobacco as a ritual. You know, it's a tool, it's a way in. And so once I've set the circle, then I welcome the directions, you know, honoring the four directions, the four cardinal directions, the above, the below, and the within, and also, you know, our ancestors and our children, the energies that guide and protect us. And I also recognize and acknowledge the nature spirits, the intelligence around us, the elementals, fire, air, water, and earth, and the mystery, those things about which we know nothing but are here with us all the same. And I think there's a lot that we can't even hardly comprehend, and we have no knowledge of or awareness of that are with us, you know. And that's part of the challenge, you know. And when I say the challenge, like, this is like currently my challenge, and what I'm aware of is making the intangible tangible, making the invisible visible, giving language to the inexpressible. It's a paradox, you know, but that's part of our humanity and our divinity, both together. Yeah.
Yeah. The experience I had with you and the whole setting of the scene and watching you work and knowing you and your wife as, you know, just fabulous people, and then being able to come into your home and also do the circle with you. And you're both very touching people. And, you know, to hear you say, that your hearing is not possibly the best, but you listen really well now. That's a beautiful thing to say, because it, not a lot of people can say that, right? Yeah. And listening is such a time to be aware of not only ourselves and our inner pieces, but all of the other people around us that contribute to that whole.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that with groups at the fire, that contribution is, I mean, palpable, like, yeah. What does that feel like when you're at the fire with a small group compared to a larger group of people?
One thing I recognize is it's not so much what I do per se. You know, like, I'm not talking the whole time. I'm not offering teachings necessarily, although I do have some things that come through clearly that I want to share with the group. But more than anything, it's what each person brings. You know, I feel like that each of us has an entourage of support, and that entourage comes with us. And so they come with us to the circle. And my experience in this realm of making the invisible visible is that there are energies, call them what you will, that come to the light. They see the light. They're attracted to it. A light with integrity, you know, something that's sacred. That's what's recognized. And I think people recognize that too, naturally. Children, like I said, especially, but and the child in all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. We recognize what's real and true, and it's coming to ground zero. You know, it's coming to ground, to the earth, to the fire, under the open sky, in the elements. It's part of who we are.
How important do you think it is to be able to sit quietly and just listen?
I think it's absolutely essential. And I know a lot of folks that struggle with it. And I also think it's what's missing in our culture. That we're so distracted. There's so much distraction, so much noise. Technology is, you know, for all the gifts and blessings that it brings, it's also an incredible distraction, and it pulls us away. And we forget where we come from. We forget who we serve. You know, we forget, like, our truth. And we just want to remember that. I know that's true for me. I want to remember that and be present to it. And that's part of my work, is helping people, you know, clear the way to get back to that.
That's such a huge word. Well, two words, being present. Mm-hmm. Because in today's society, it feels like it's instant gratification. What comes next, and mm-hmm. what, you know, where can my mind go to focus on this now? Yeah. You know, rather than, I know a lot of people who are uncomfortable being quiet and still mm-hmm. and alone.
Right.
And it just makes me think of the fire circle and having that time to just be and see what comes through.
Right. And I recognize that, you know, when I sit with anybody, you know, sitting here with you, or, you know, taking a moment to connect with the person, realizing we both want the same things in many ways, regardless of what we call them or how we describe them. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine around the question, who do you serve? You know, like in the big sense, who do you serve? And he was of a mind of being more agnostic or atheist. And it was great because I guess I could feel my own fundamentalist nature want to assert my truth, you know. But I realized we all have a different way that we frame things, a different way that we interpret our reality, and it's all good, and all of it has to be acceptable, you know, mm-hmm. as we're finding our way together.
Yeah. Well, did your prayer sculptures come from your work with fire and the elements and the land? How did this thought even occur? Like, what happened when this, your mind said this is what, or your heart said this is what you should be doing?
So when I work at the fire, I use four herbs: sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, and cedar. And those are very native in origin. That's probably where I got them, you know, got that sense. But I also asked the question once. I said, what is it about these things? And what I heard was, we like the smell. We recognize these as offerings. And I think for millennia, these have been used in sacred ceremony, especially amongst native peoples. So, and I don't have any compunction about borrowing, you know, and then owning the truth and the sacredness of those things. So it started with my littlest, youngest daughter, Keely, and myself. We would gather sage and make small presents. We'd wrap them with string and, you know, give them away as presents. But it evolved from there. I started making larger and larger gatherings of sage. And at some point, they turned into gifts, like true gifts. You know, I'd add feathers and tobacco and sweetgrass and corn, and I'd put a crystal on the front, tie a crystal on. And the crystals now, I collect crystals and they sit in the moonlight. So they've been through several cycles of a full moon and a new moon, and these go onto the sculptures. So they're really organic-looking creations, and for me, they're like children. And they're probably anywhere from a foot and a half to 2 feet long, and I use all four of the herbs I was talking about, sage, sweetgrass, tobacco, and cedar, and I bless them myself using tobacco and sage. And they're beautiful.
They are. They're all so personable and unique. You know, if someone, because I know that Brad and I actually had friends and loved ones that we wanted to have, you know, to give them as gifts too, because they're incredibly beautiful. And there's something, just like you said, they're like infants. You hold it. And I mean, as we do with a lot of other pieces that have meaning to us, right? We hold it with fragility and just care. And but they're of the earth, and they're just, they mm-hmm. feel so, they're weighted, and they are organic. But one thing that I really enjoyed about it was that it was, you know, you do put a blessing, and you do, you know, it's all personable. Like if someone wanted to gift it to someone, you talk about your process and how you collect everything and bless. And if someone was saying, I want this for so-and-so, and this is what's going on for them in their life.
Yeah, even from the moment of collecting the sage and the greens, you know, I'm saying prayers. I'm offering my own prayers to the plants, you know, to take them and use them in this way, and especially if I have in mind who I'm making it for, and the prayers and intentions that the person who's wanting to gift this to someone, you know, they'll tell me what prayers they'd like to have in the sculpture. And so I keep that in mind. But mostly I'm in a good feeling place. You know, I'm just enjoying. I imagine it's a lot like people who garden. You know, they love having their hands in the soil and just being in the open air and like that. And so, and then as I pull these elements together, I'm making it with intention, and I can feel the spirit, you know, moving through me into the sculpture itself. And so that's, you know, that's the process of building them, you know, creating them. And then at the end, to take them to the fire and bless them in that way, using the sage, smoke, and tobacco. And then to release them, you know, to release them into the world. And they're all over the world, literally.
I was going to ask you, let's talk about that, where they all are.
Yeah, they're in other countries. I've had people, you know, they're healers, entrepreneurs, peacemakers from all walks of life have asked for them, probably on every continent now. And it's just amazing how that happened. You know, when, once people, I think they see them, whether they see them in a photo or they actually hold them, they recognize something, and they recognize the blessing of it, the gift of it, and there's nothing like them. Mm-hmm. So to give it as a gift, you know for sure, unless they got one before, they've never received that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they're all so blessed. And you also include a beautiful piece with it about the elements involved and what their meanings are. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So, you know, the four elements, fire, air, water, and earth, are present. The four sacred herbs, as I mentioned, the four races, black, white, yellow, and red, all people, and the four directions. Interesting thing about the four directions. So when I welcome the directions, honor the directions, just as a ritual, I used to think that it was so spirit could find me, so they'd know where I was at. You know, I'm locating myself, right? But as it came to me, they said, we always know where you're at, but sometimes you don't.
So true.
Yeah. So it's about bringing myself present on the earth in space and time, here right now, in a sacred way, you know, with an open heart. So that's in the prayer sculpture,
mm-hmm.
you know. And crystals, of course, they've been used for millennia by healers and shaman and medicine people as a tool. They amplify and concentrate energy. So even if I didn't say anything more about it than that, you know, the crystal, just like a crystal in a radio, broadcasts, mm-hmm. you know, and it takes our energy and it holds. So it holds the prayer. It holds the intention in a good way. And again, that's, you know, part of making the invisible visible. You look at a crystal, you could just say, well, that's just a rock or a stone. Or you could say, there's something here that's magical, sacred, you know, like that.
They're so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you collect those, are you collecting them from the land or collecting them from establishments that you feel are, that touch you?
Yeah, I go to the gem show here in Durango, or ask people to, if they're somewhere, like the big show in Denver, mm-hmm. I'll say, bring me some crystals, mm-hmm. you know.
And then whatever.
And they find their way to me.
Yeah, and so whenever someone places an order, you just see what calls to you that day.
Exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I like that.
The same with feathers. You know, I find feathers on the land. I find entire birds. I find, people gift me feathers. So turkey, owl, hawk, peacock. Mm-hmm. So I know some feathers are, you know, not traditionally used by certain cultures, and that's okay. And I don't use all those feathers all the time.
But this is your culture. This is your culture of creating.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like my own tradition, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's been part of my process, is honoring other cultures while finding my own.
So true.
You know, it's like honoring the truth of others and other cultures, other religions, and finding my own. And that's been the directive for me. It's find your way and know your way, not somebody else's way, and not the way that was given to you. Like here, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, but to find your own way. And that's, I can tell you from personal experience, that's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, it's deep, it's challenging, and there's no other work like it.
It's ongoing.
Ongoing, it does not end. And I'm continually being humbled. I'm continually being brought to my knees, you know, in a prayerful way. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you also that part of the core of my work has been around some really deep themes: forgiveness and gratitude, trust and surrender, grief, blessing, and prayer. You know, I think for a lot of people, and myself included, to bless somebody, to bless anything, that wasn't mine to do. That was in the realm of the priest or the minister, for the most part. And what I've learned is that's for each of us. We each have that capacity because of who we are, because of where we come from. And I also say because of them who, having gone before us, have blessed us with their innocence and their peace, mm-hmm. both the ancestors and the children to come.
So if someone was interested in your prayer sculptures, Tom, how do they get in touch with you, or how do they see them from, you know, because I'm sure people are listening this morning thinking, I want to see one of these.
Yeah.
You know?
They're on Facebook. Okay. At the Fire's Edge is the Facebook page. I'm in the process of building a website to encompass all of my work as a chiropractor, as a ceremonialist and a firekeeper, and also as a sacred artist. You know, what I've been saying lately, and this has been part of my ownership for my own, you know, for myself, for what I do. I'm a chiropractor. You know, I practice chiropractic by day, and I practice medicine at night, mm-hmm. you know, a different kind of medicine. And just to say that on the air is, for me, a huge step, you know, in owning, you know, who I am as a man, as a human being, as a sacred person.
At the Fire's Edge?
At the Fire's Edge.
Okay, everyone, you've heard it here on KDR's Four Corners Arts Forum with Tom Garcia. We've been talking about ceremony and fire circle and prayer sculptures. And if you're interested in anything that we've been discussing, reach out to Tom via Facebook, I'm assuming.
Right.
At the Fire's Edge is his page. And I can tell you, just because I know him, he's just a lovely, wonderful man. So reach out if this has interested you in any way. And thanks again, Tom, for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me,
yeah, of
Carson.
Course. I'll send it over to John and
right.
We'll play some music this morning. Thanks, everyone.